Radioactive, you're going live in 3, 2, 1.
You are now listening to Radioactive.
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 You are now listening to Radioactive Youth
Media. You are now listening to Radioactive Youth Media.
You are now listening to Radioactive Youth Media's podcast.
Hey, I'm Nia.
And I'm Alam.
We're from KUOW's Radioactive,
where rad stories take action and we make amazing podcasts.
This is the finale!
Yay, we finished our feature stories.
Yas, can't believe we did it. I never thought we would. What's your story about anyway?
My story is about my discovery of my own neighborhood in West Coast Jazz when I found out my house had a sub-basement.
What's a sub-basement?
You will find out. I live in a house built in the 1920s in the Central District. I used to think my basement was so creepy. Then last year, I found out there are two odd chambers hidden under the wooden floorboards. A sub-basement. My mom is down here with me, and she's going to describe where the sub-basements are. Before I get into the story, you need to know I'm African-American and half-Brazilian. I grew up in a mostly African-American neighborhood. Most of my friends are white, and I never really felt like I fit in. But recently, I got curious about my heritage when I found out my house had a sub-basement.
So, right here, I'm walking on this L-shaped depression.
My mom tells me she found dead rats down there. Gross.
And that's where it is. So you could feel it kind of underneath the floor.
I asked her what the realtor said.
He said, oh, this is a rum runner's house. And I asked him, I said, well, what's a rum runner? And he says, well, this is a place where bootleg was made or stored. And they used to bring the rum trucks right up to the garage, back them in, and then load them on. I actually almost felt like I was in some kind of exciting mobster scene.
During the Prohibition, people made hooch in their bathtubs. They also made wine. The house next door had many grapevines.
You don't see those kind of grapes anymore, the wine grapes. Where I grew up, there was a whole orchard full of those grapes, and those were the most wonderful grapes in the summer, but you don't see those that much anymore.
That's my neighbor, Chalice Stallworth, who's been living here in the Central District most of her life. Her father was a saxophonist who played at the African-American jazz clubs on Jackson Street. That's where the illegal alcohol was taken.
Because that's where the action was. I mean,
that's Paul D. Burrows. He's a music contributor for the Seattle Times, and he also wrote the book Jackson Street After Hours. He tells me African American porters and railroad workers used to stay at hotels near 12th and Jackson in the early 1900s.
And that's where this community evolved of, well, what am I going to do in the next 3 nights while I wait to get back to Chicago? Well, maybe let's have a card game. Or somebody sees an opportunity, says, sell these guys a few drinks. He opens a bar, a pool room. Somebody says, well, why don't we have some music, too?
Like the Black and Tan that was owned by E. Russell Noodle Smith.
Nicknamed Noodles because every night at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he would always have a bowl of noodles. Probably so he wouldn't have a hangover in the morning because he was hanging out selling bootleg liquor to people. The polite way of describing Noodle Smith is to say that he was an entrepreneur. The impolite way is to say that he was a gangster.
He came to Seattle in 1910 with $17,000. That's a lot of money for that time. African Americans made Jackson Street an economically thriving community. According to Paul D. Burrows, the African-American musicians in these jazz clubs were creating a new sound, combining blues, swing, bebop, and other sounds that formed West Coast jazz. It has a very spunky, happy feeling, like this song, Seattle Hunch, by Jelly Roll Morton. Sometimes, I feel African-Americans aren't fully credited for their accomplishments, so it was nice to hear these stories. My mom and I go to Jackson Street to see if there's any remnant of this vibrant jazz scene.
It's kind of strange that this used to be a place that was so full of music and life, and it's so different now.
It was a little sad to go back to where the jazz scene was on Jackson Street. There's nothing left, except the metal stand.
South was once the lively hub.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. The roots of jazz in Seattle. This intersection at South and Jackson Street and 12th Avenue South was once the lively hub of Seattle's after-hours jazz scene, a musical crossroads where in the 1940s, Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, and Ernestine Anderson, among others, honed their craft. I had no idea I've been passing through a piece of culture that was so rich. And now it's completely gone.
Jackson. So we're right here, but there's no remnants of it. There's nothing left. There used to be a sign, but all this has changed now. So this is where it used to be.
My neighbor Chalice thinks that the Central District has become prime property and that people with money are pushing out the older families. I've noticed my neighborhood has become more economically and culturally diverse since I was a little kid. Everything is changing. The houses, the music, and the people surrounding me. But Chalice hopes with this change we don't lose any more of our history.
My hope that we retain some of the feeling of yesterday, the families of yesterday, and the traditions of yesterday. I think it's good to evolve, but you got to keep a piece of the old to remember where we came from and how we got to where we are now.
My house is a reminder of this history, which is often forgotten. I don't want to forget my history. I want to understand my heritage so I can understand myself more. The next thing I want to learn about is my Brazilian side of the family. For Radioactive, I'm Nia Price Nascimento.
I think it's super cool and interesting how you went out and just searched history just in your own backyard and shared it with us, because like as a teen I feel like we just take history for granted because it's just right there and it's just on Google, but we don't like actually search it up and look for it. That's pretty unique. You're legit.
Thanks. I wasn't really interested in this topic when I first learned about my sub-basement, but for some reason this year I began to become more interested, and I'm really happy that I did because I learned a lot and I really love my story.
I love it too.
Thank you. So I understand that your feature story is about someone pretty close to you too.
Yeah, my story is about my friend Ifra Upshear. She attends Rainier Beach High School with me. She's juniors like us, and she's in a really odd relationship. Super creepy, but it's pretty cute. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear it.
When Ifra met her first love, it wasn't love at first sight.
I could never get it right. Everything just kept crashing. Nothing worked, and I got mad, and I'm short-tempered, so it would anger me every time something get wrong.
First day of freshman year at Rainier Beach High School. First day jitters, the bell rings. That's when Ifra met the love of her life, computer science. Frank Martinez is a volunteer programmer at Rainier Beach who helps run the computer science program. He helped Ifra understand the concepts of computer science and how to code.
I think Ifra was probably one of my more curious and explorative students that I tried to point her in a direction and give her some parameters, and she was pretty good about going and conducting her own exploration to try and determine what she needed to know, where her skill gaps were.
After taking one semester of computer science, she was asked to speak at the bill signing at Rainier Beach High School. This bill was to make computer science a math credit in Washington State. The governor and state legislators were there, like it's super normal for a 15-year-old to do. Here, Ifra explained the app she made that got published on the Microsoft Windows Store.
And that's when I realized that, oh, wow, this is actually really fun. You actually get that feeling of excitement. You can actually go someplace with this. The love just blossomed. I felt like I was in a committed relationship with you.
I guess I probably did a good job, but I don't know, because after that, like, I got emails every day saying, oh, come speak here, come speak here. We loved your speech. Do this, do that. And I guess that's just how it started.
Ifra spoke at the state conference about computer science and technology, also at the University of Washington, and a bunch of Microsoft events. She also has been featured on the Microsoft Youth Sparks page, a program designed to attract teens to computer science. As a normal 15-year-old, she couldn't ask for anything else, but it was hard to make speeches and focus on the schoolwork she had.
That's why my grades dropped
3.1%.
From a 4.0 to a 3.9, but hey, Mama Upshur still had concerns. Computer science was a love of Ifrah's life, but she wasn't computer science's type. In the tech industry, only 20% of the people are women. In 2013, 18% of people who took the advanced placement test for computer science were girls, and 4% of them were African Americans.
Because I am African American, because I am a Muslim, and because I am a girl, that people want to use me for my image, I guess, for who I am. Sometimes they don't even care about what I say. They just care about using my face and being like, oh, diversity and represent all types of things. But to me, I don't think about that. I think about just the benefit for me and how, like, my name gets networked. And even if it gets networked for the wrong reasons or whatever, I can always set the facts straight when people do get my name.
When Ifrah turned 16, she found a way to expand her love for computer science. She applied to the Microsoft High School internship. I remember her talking about it every day, telling everyone how amazing it was. Remember the bill signing she spoke at? Well, she met Governor Jay Inslee there and got him to write her letter of recommendation, but she didn't get in.
I felt like a little bit like her because I was like, my mentality at that time was that, oh, you know, all the things I've done for Microsoft, I've done all these speeches, I've represented the company multiple times, I did all these things and I did them all for free, and they couldn't give me one simple internship in the summertime. That was my mentality then.
But now Ifrah is motivated more than ever to get her lover back.
There was people who were like 10 light years ahead of me, people who are like amazing, who breathe computer science, who sleep computer science, who eat computer science, and it made me realize that I could always do better and that I should never give up.
She still codes all the time. No, literally. The first app she made is a simple game that helps you learn more about geometry. Ifrah showed her younger sister Hafsa how to play the game for the first time.
Oh, that's to show how when you lost a life. And this is the bonus points.
I can't believe my sister, out of all people, made a game up like this.
I know your sister loves coding. Is it weird that she's in a relationship with coding?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. She'll be on her phone until like 2 o'clock at night just doing random codes when I'm trying to sleep. And we always end up arguing over the time to shut off the light.
So, what does Ifrah and her lover computer science have coming up next? Well, Ifrah is officially the advocate for Youth Sparks. Also, she plans on applying to the Microsoft Summer Internship next year. Ifrah did a lot of things in the computer science world, and she made sure her friends were with her every step of the way.
Because I know that computer science is becoming everything in the world. Like, society is reaching a point where technology is how we breathe. And if I'm gonna take on technology, if I'm gonna try to get to the top, then I'm gonna bring my friends along with me. Because really, my friends are the ones who push me every day, and I want them to get the same opportunities I do.
I'm a victim. Ifrah made me try the class, and I actually enjoyed it. 25% of the time. From Radioactive, this is Alam Ibrahim.
Wow, that was so cool. She seems like such a smart young woman, and she seems like she inspires a lot of the people around her. I know there were a lot of cuts that I wanted to keep, but I couldn't because of the time limit. Did you have any that you wanted to keep?
Yeah, I had to cut a lot of my babies.
What, babies?
I'm not a baby murderer, okay? I just had to cut them because of time limit as well, but my favorite had to be...
Just don't give up. Like, computer science is going to seem hard at first when you're walking on that first day and you realize you're learning about something you've probably never seen in your life. It's going to seem hard, but just don't give up, because if you don't give up, I'm pretty sure you're going to start to like it, you're going to start to love it, and you're going to end up being the next Bill Gates or the next Mark Zuckerberg. You're going to end up owning a Fortune 500 company.
Wow, she gives really good advice about not giving up.
Yeah, she actually inspired me to code out of nowhere, even though I hate coding.
Yeah.
Did you have any babies that you had to cut as well?
Well, when I interviewed this guy named Paul DeBarros, there was a part when he summarized a lot of the stuff that was going on Jackson Street in Seattle.
I mean, the whole scene was built on segregation, crooked cops, and illegal liquor. That's what made the scene happen.
Your story relates to so many things, race, history being forgotten, how our generation can be the hope for it, which is super cool and dope.
Thanks, I really love it. Can you believe this program is coming to an end?
I know, like, where did time go?
I met so many new people. I'm so excited to hang out with you guys after this program, including some of my friends. We would like to thank our Megan, Ernesto, and Issa.
Also Angela, Maria, and Noah. I love you, Noah. I just love your name.
Thanks, friends.
And don't forget our wonderful program producers, Leela. Thank you so much for all your help and your lovely laugh. And Jenny for being such a great editor and putting up with everything I made her put up with. I love you.
To see more podcasts like this or be updated about this program, visit our page at kuow.org/radioactive.
Or follow us on Twitter, KUOW Radioactive. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/radioactiveyouthmedia. Also for the lovely Nia for being such a great co-host and a friend these past 6 weeks.
And see you later.
I get no love, really? Wow.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I totally forgot. But it was great working with you, too.
You, too. Deuces.
Goodbye.
Deuces.